All right. It is time for another episode of The Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones, and today we have Martin Moravec with us from Germany. Is that correct? You're living in Germany now, Martin?
Yes, that's right. Hi, everyone.
Hey, tell us a little bit more about your background story. We always like to get to know our guests. And tell us, what are you developing? What's the product? What is the service that you have developed from the ground up?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this show. It's a great pleasure to be on the Dumb Phone Show. And I need to say, to be honest, I didn't know there is such a huge community behind dumb phones, as you call them. I thought originally that these are just the total niche, but as I can see, there are a lot of people, like working adults, not just older ones or just kids, that have such a phone and are really into it. Yeah. Regarding me, my background is computer science and software engineering, and I've been developing user interfaces in aerospace and in automotive. And in these areas, you need to be careful about what you show on the display in order not to distract the pilot or the driver, but on the other hand, get their attention when it's needed. Also later, I've been developing smartphone apps for different companies, mostly in the automotive industry. As we said, I live in Germany, and you can imagine that there is a lot of car manufacturers here. Later, I also got into blockchain and cryptocurrencies, and I've been working at one blockchain startup for quite some time. And then actually what happened in June last year, 2020, when the corona pandemic fears were really high and the economy was really looking bad, is that I've lost my job. And I was able to find a new one later, but I had a few weeks of free time in between. And because I had so much free time, I've spent a lot of time on my smartphone, like way too much, you know it. Sometimes you just open an app that you didn't want to open, and when you realize, it's like, how the hell did I get here again, right? And I started to realize how actually the smartphone UI is influencing your brain. So you have all these colorful app icons, and every app designer is trying to make their app icon the most appealing one. But what actually happens on your phone then is that you end up with a mess of all different kinds of colorful icons that are not matching to each other, and that all are trying to get your attention so that you can spend some time on their app. So I wanted to do something with this problem of the mindless wasting time on your smartphone, create an app that would help people with the same issue as I had, actually. And I also got into minimalism some time ago after reading the book Goodbye Things from Fumio Sasaki. Maybe you know it. I can highly recommend this book. The author describes here his life before he became minimalist and afterwards, and it's a really good one. So these two things, my acute smartphone overuse and the interest in minimalism, have combined, and the minimalist phone was born.
When it comes to your application, right, we have a lot of services out there and a lot of different applications from that minimal smartphone user perspective. There's a lot of launchers that change the appearance. I've downloaded your app on one of my Android phones, or the only one that I have left, I guess, at this point. And I was able to see that you incorporated a couple of extra things. You know, I've used minimal launchers before. They take away some of the color. They give you a big list, things here and a couple of features there. But none of them do continually remind you of the principles. And I think that's something that I noticed in your app that was different than the other minimal launchers. It had some of the same core, but you had reminders throughout your app. Was that design choice intentional?
Yes, totally. Maybe we can just talk quickly about what actually makes the smartphones addictive at first, and then we can analyze it and see what is the app doing with it.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So sometimes you just open an app, as we said, that you didn't want to open. It was not your mindful decision, and your brain has decided it for you while it was running, so-called on autopilot, right? And in this case, your brain has learned that when I click on this icon, I will experience something exciting or some happiness or get some extra dopamine level. So this association between the action of click on a specific icon and the feeling it brings, that becomes a learned automatic behavior. And the happiness you experience is, at least in my opinion, not a real happiness. But this is quite a philosophical question, but it's kind of a good feeling or happiness that you can get because you have just seen a picture that you like on Instagram, or someone who you wanted to write you just wrote you. And this is what I would call a fake happiness. It is something what you have to actually keep feeding over and over, because that one nice picture that you have seen is not enough. You need to keep scrolling to see another one and another one. Otherwise, the feeling that you are craving disappears. And another thing is that makes smartphones addictive are notifications. And actually, the worst thing is they can occupy your mind even when you don't have any notifications coming up in the moment. So it's the anticipation of notification that can make you lose your focus. And this also makes it harder for you to focus on any complex task, as you cannot really dive into what you are currently doing. And you often keep thinking about the content on your phone, or just simply keep checking on your phone, even when there are no new notifications, right?
Something that I like to mention at this point is, and you have said it, right? There is a design intention in order to keep you hooked from a smartphone perspective. You posted on the Reddit thread for the Lightphone subreddit, and that's what prompted this conversation between you and I, because you posted a question. You kind of framed the question. Well, especially for Lightphone users. I myself use a Lightphone, and I know I don't have access to certain apps. So your question was along the lines of, do you miss those apps? You wanted to know from the community, do you miss having Spotify or Uber or things of that nature? And at least from my perspective, of course, I don't miss having those things. And I think the services themselves are part of the root of the problem. Yes, there is a design kind of part of the problem, but the services themselves, I think, are the issue, in my personal opinion. And I think that we can do better when we quit the services and use more analog options. So for example, instead of using Spotify, you use something along the lines of an MP3 player, or just load the music on an SD card, something like that. Instead of using Uber, you call a taxi. It's less convenient, of course, but I think it's better overall. Now, when you have your application, let's say somebody still uses a smartphone, you know, they haven't adopted a feature phone, or, you know, for whatever reason, they need apps. What does it do? You have talked about the design standpoint, but how do you imagine someone ideally using this app that has a completely different design and a completely different philosophical perspective than just your regular Android launcher that is pumping all of this content towards you?
Sure, maybe let's dive a bit deeper into this topic. So I think many people have already noticed that the smartphone overuse is an issue. And I think you basically have three options what you can do once you notice that this is an issue in your life. So the first option is, as you said, you can get a simple phone, dumb phone, without apps. And I think the good thing about this is that it will really help you with your smartphone overuse, and it will make you more mindful too, at least in the short term. The problem I see here, as we already mentioned, is that you will be missing on many apps. And I think today there are some things which can only be done from an app. Depends, of course, where you live, the country and the location. For example, if I want to order delivery from a restaurant, here they don't have their own service anymore. They use a third-party provider that only accepts orders via app, as an example.
Can I interject in here? Because I'd like to kind of know a little bit more from the perspective. Here in America, right, like, you know, I'm in the United States, we call the restaurant, we tell them that we want it to get delivered, and they deliver it to us, we pay a fee, or we can go pick it up. You presented a convenience, right? Like, you know, this is a convenience to get delivery. And of course, right now, during our situation where there's a lot of different countries, lockdowns, a lot of different regulations, maybe I'm asking, is there not like completely in Germany, like you cannot order besides an app? Is there a phone number that you can call and maybe pay an extra convenience fee in order to get it delivered? I just wanted to get that perspective in the European or at least in the German market.
Sure. It's not about the corona anymore. It was like this also before, but many restaurants, they don't have their own service of delivery. Like, they don't have any extra person that would deliver it for you because they just rely on these services. There were two or three in the past and they have, I guess, merged recently. But most of the restaurants, they don't have their own guy, so to say, that would bring the food to you. They just rely on the service that sends people to their place, picks up the food, and then brings it, usually on a bicycle, to your home or to your office.
And there is no alternative. So if I wanted to eat at home from a restaurant, I cannot, there is no analog service that can happen. I'll have to go physically to go pick it up.
Yeah, you have to pick it up yourself, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's quite interesting to me because, you know, it kind of showcases how dependent we're becoming upon these devices for certain conveniences. Now, I mean, somebody may be listening to this and say, well, you know, paying for delivery is not the best for your, you know, kind of budget, health. You can, you know, put it from multiple different perspectives. But hey, you have brought a point. Like, you know, when you have a feature phone, when you have a voice phone, when you have a dumb phone, you don't have access to these apps per se, but continue, like as you were saying.
Sure, and maybe another point is it was like a trend of the recent years that every company was making app for everything. So now we have so much functionality in all these apps. For example, there is a local transportation company here, and they have their own app where you check your connections and your tickets. And yeah, it's the best way how you can use their system, right? So what I want to say, the first option that you have once you notice you are overusing your smartphone is to get a dumb phone and you may miss some apps. And I think even people, when they were enjoying the peace of mind that the simple phone brings them, they can notice that they really cannot be without some apps and they need to get back to their smartphone. Of course, it's not for everyone, depends where you live and so on, but I think that does happen. Even like imagine there is a new chat app coming out and your friends create a room and they will invite you, right, to this chat. And you'll be like, sorry, guys, I cannot join you because it's only on the smartphone and I have no smartphone. So you'll miss on the chat between your friends.
I think when you mention messaging and having a chat, the first thing that comes to my mind is, of course, I mean, again, we go to the European versus North America or Latin America versus North America, where services are still on SMS. Like, you know, here we still have SMS, unlimited texting, whereas most people have migrated towards WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram outside of the United States. And I recognize that because I have family myself that's outside of the United States who just use WhatsApp. And my only way to contact them is through this. Now, I don't have to miss out because I can use the desktop version or I can find a different way to use it. So I'm trying to understand, like, smartphones make everything faster, right? And I know that. I've used a smartphone for such a long time. Now that I'm a voice phone user, a dumb phone user, I don't have that convenience. But honestly, those things were slowing me down either way. I mean, I'm more productive at my work. I am able to focus more, have less distractions. I'm still participating in the chats, but it's on my own time. And I think that that's something that a lot of times we don't get to experience. That it's like, hey, I can just live my life and then go back. When I'm home, I can pick up the smart device, computer, and then interact again. This argument of convenience and fast, you know, access, I mean, at least to me, it's not satisfying anymore because I've seen the other side where I see way more benefits in disconnecting and just having a regular day. I feel like there's very few things that would be extremely important for me to have to use a chat app, like you have mentioned.
It also, I think, depends on which app. For example, WhatsApp, you cannot use it without your phone being online because the browser version is only extension of the app on your phone. So it does not work if you don't have an active smartphone.
Well, you could use an emulator, of course. You know, I mean, that would work. So, I mean, there are workarounds, but yes, I generally would agree with you that you need a smart device or even a feature phone with WhatsApp, which we have those too, you know, like the iOS devices.
I mean, also the creators of this platform, they usually don't make it that easy or they don't really support it too much for you to move out of their platform because they just want you to stay on the phone and spend there as much time as possible, of course.
So that gets me, whenever you say that gets me to the point where you have designed something, right, that is intended to change the initial response from the user. You open up the phone and you're not bombarded by all of the different notifications. You're not bombarded by the colorful screen. I play with your app and you're able to write the secure settings in order to get the grayscale, which is something that's actually good and important, or whatever settings. I don't remember the explicit name and the specific part. And I think that that's good that you're encouraging people to do that. But maybe I would like to go a little bit further into, do you think that's enough to keep people from the services? Because when they exit the minimalist phone, they're back into the colorful, or at least the grayscale version of WhatsApp, grayscale version of YouTube. They still have access to these things. Does that keep us away, or is your app more about management rather than like limitation?
Well, the app is the approach is that you can keep your smartphone, but you try to learn how to keep the usage under control. And there are several things you can do, even without having any extra app. So you can consider, of course, which apps you really need, and you can uninstall the rest, right? You don't really need games. You don't really need TikTok. Just delete them. You can manually turn off the notifications. You also don't need them. It's just another tool used by the app developers to make you spend more time on their apps. You can also turn your phone to silent. I have my phone on silent for about 2 years now, and it's really great. And then you have icons left, and there are several ways how to get rid of them, at least on Android. iOS, it's not so flexible. Yeah, so you can choose if you do these things by hand or if you like, if you use an app like Minimalist Phone to do them for you. Right. So how it works. From the beginning, so you download the app from a Play Store the same way you download any other app. And luckily, the Android is flexible system, so it allows you to install custom home screens. But the Minimalist Phone is more than a home screen. After you open the app for the first time, it will guide you and explain its purpose. It will also explain that the app can help you reduce your screen time, but it also requires your will and your motivation if you want to change something. So you cannot just install the app, put no effort into it, and expect that the things will get better by themselves. Then the app will show you how to navigate around your new phone UI that can remind someone of the old Nokia interface. This also means that there is a lot of text and no icons. Then you can choose which apps you want to have in your favorite apps on the first screen. And here, of course, you shouldn't choose any app that you don't want to use too much. And the app also warns you about this. What you can also do is you can hide some apps. And after you hide an app, you will still be able to access it. But it is a bit harder and it requires a few extra steps to open it. Actually, these extra steps can give you time to realize what you are doing and maybe change your mind not to open the app in case you were about to open the app mindlessly. Also, another reason why some people actually like to hide their apps is that their phone came with pre-installed apps that they cannot remove, but in this way they can at least hide them and get them out of their sight. So One thing which is important is the preferred way how to open the app from the list of the all apps that you have on your phone. So it's not by scrolling that you just scroll through and just open whatever you want to, but the approach that the app is teaching is that you think first which app you want to open, and then you start typing the first few letters of the app. And this also reinforces the mindful way of using your smartphone.
As you say that, and my experience using the app, I thought that those were nice touches to help people manage that kind of like intention. You know, you have the ability to search certain things and then you open the app. And you have certain hurdles, of course, you know, to change some of these things. Now, I've tried different minimalist options, and the one that I definitely have seen that is a little bit even more restrictive than yours is the Unplug, right? Like, you know, the guys from Poland. And they're doing a great job with like a physical device that you insert and you disable some things and you then enable some things, of course, with the grayscale mode, all of these different things that are allowed on this application, on this launcher. And we had them, of course, on the Dumbphone show. I'm trying to understand from your perspective, right? Maybe you have some feedback that you can share with us, because I see this as, and I've been there, right? Where I chose Android because it was a flexible platform, because it allowed me to do these things and whatnot. But then I came back again to the whole. I mean, your app does not come by default on most people's phones, right? They have to go and download it. But what if they uninstall it? And I think that that's where you put that disclaimer in the beginning of the first page, right? Where you say, you have to put the effort, right? Like, you know, it's this app is a tool and it can help you in the journey. But if you choose to uninstall it, that's your choice. You can go back and then, you know, but there is less friction. And this is where, like, I philosophically think that tools like a Dumbphone can be better, even if, like, just because you change your SIM card to it, then your smartphone doesn't have the access anymore. I mean, for example, the Lite phone, it's quite a little bit more on the expensive side. So maybe I'll use a different device. Let's say you buy a $49 Nokia 6300. It doesn't have all the features. It doesn't have all the things, but it does have hotspot. So you carry an iPod or you carry an iPhone, and then you carry this device. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, I'm carrying two devices. Yeah, but the time that you're regaining and the limitations that you're putting are way better than if you just install an app. So maybe you can share some of the feedback from users that you have heard and, you know, some of the success stories and the good things that have happened.
Sure. So regarding the friction, I think that's the reason why your commitment is actually so important, that you want to do something with your problem is that you can always go back to your smartphone, right? So you have an app, you can always uninstall it, and you have the hardware device to limit your phone. You can always plug it in, and you have your dumb phone or your Lite phone, and you can always switch back, right? So there is always option for the people to go back. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder, but it's always possible. And I think this is really the point where you need to really decide, okay, I want to do something about it, and you just stick with your plan. Regarding feedback, yeah, I was really surprised that we get really lots of feedback from the people so far. People are writing us that it helped them with their addiction, that they really like it. We also have people that write us that are really shocked. I was like, they're like, oh my God, there are no icons. What is this? You know, they are like so shocked. They are so used to their Android, or even maybe they had iOS before. It's the same principle, all just icons. And they are so shocked that it's so different that they just cannot accept it to live in this world without icons anymore. So there are quite different opinions about this. But most of the people is really happy with the app. And what we also did, we also had a survey asking people questions after 3 days of using the app. And it was, of course, rating how they liked the app and so on. But there was also a question if the app has helped them to reduce their screen time on their smartphone. And after 3 days of using it, actually 93% of people stated that they have reduced their screen time that they spend on their smartphone. And honestly, even I was surprised by such a high number. So I think that's a really good result.
That's good to hear. Something that I like to kind of connect as we get into the final segment of the podcast is, from your background, you work with automotive industries, right? Like every time I think about a car interface, I think about just the basics. Like you don't have, of course, nowadays, right? Like, you know, with CarPlay, Android Auto, and Teslas, of course, there is a bigger emphasis on technology and making adaptable and having screens on the car, you know, and things of that nature. But how did that influence your decision making? Because cars have always been very minimal, or at least the majority of cars are still minimal, you know, the things that people still drive. But now that the future cars are coming with more screens, more things, how much of that kind of like things that you developed or things that you came in contact with car manufacturers influenced this decision to go very minimal? Of course, you mentioned the book, of course, as well, that helped you. But what is the influence from your previous job?
So actually, the car industry is much more regulated, at least in these terms, than the smartphone, right? So in cars, typically, it's not allowed to show moving images or videos to driver in most of the countries, because they know it's really distracting. They know it's really getting your attention. So that's why certain features are blocked. For example, while you are driving, you cannot watch videos. You cannot maybe interact with something more complex. And if you have even some user interface, it has to be done in a way that is very easy to understand. So you just need to be able, just with a blink of an eye, understand what's going on, maybe choose one of the options and then just keep driving. But what's actually interesting, that of course there is no such regulation on your phone, at least not now. And you have the content on your phone and you have the platform creators. They use very strong or very powerful machine learning algorithms to curate content for you. It is the most interesting that will keep you on the platform the longest time. And there are no limits on this. And they can just use all the power they have to keep you as long as they want on their platform. Actually, this will be also changing in the next maybe years or months. There are new laws coming up in the EU. One is that the platform providers, they have to publish their algorithms that they use to create the content or to curate the content for you. And one is also a law that is tackling the issue of the echo chambers, right? Where they only show you the content which you want to see, and they only make your own opinion stronger, and you don't see anyone with other opinions, so you have no reflection on what you are doing. So I think it's also good that there are things changing in this field. Yes.
That's good. That's good to hear, you know, and especially I never thought about it from that regulation standpoint. I think it's quite important to think about it from that standpoint, because it will change a lot of the landscape. Martin, thank you very much for coming in, talking a little bit about addiction when it comes to smartphones and kind of like some of the solutions that you've been working on. I really appreciate the discussion. I think we have gotten a little bit closer. Now, as a final question, and then I'll give you a final word, is what's your kind of like plan? You're a smartphone user at this point, you know, and kind of like, do you see that just continuing developing some of those apps, some of those services in order to continue helping people? Or was this more of like a Corona project that you had?
So this is totally going on. We are still developing new features. We are currently two people working on this. We have a big roadmap of the features coming up. We always incorporate the feedback of the users. So we are really trying to bring this to as many people as possible.
Thank you for that. And hopefully we'll be able to see a little bit of that roadmap in the future to see what you guys are developing and pushing on. I'll make sure to, you know, ping you back whenever you have developed some extra features, some kind of like leaping going forward. And then we can continue to have this discussion. Martin, thank you very much for coming in. As always, we like to leave our guests with the final word. So go ahead, whatever you want to say. This is your time.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. It was a great pleasure. I think there are still a lot of questions open about mindfulness, about the future of the interfaces, about the way how people interact with their devices. So I think we have a lot of content also for future. And I'll be also glad to come in again once I have some updates on the Minimalist Phone.
That was Martin Moravec from the Minimalist Phone. If you want to check out his app or all of the other things that he's building, make sure to check the links in the description below. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next time. As always, we remind you to stay focused on your goals.